Hey, everybody, before we start the show, I wanted to let you know we're doing live shows at Largo on 4/15. That's April 15th. It's a Saturday. The first show is already sold out. The second show at 10 p.m. still has some tickets left. And just a reminder, this is a show without June, the 10 p.m. show at Largo. So definitely get your tickets for our 10 p.m. show on April 15th. Go to largo-la.com for tickets and info. Hey, guys, let me tell you. Support for today's show, and this is so cool, is coming from our good old friends at Squarespace. I mean, let me tell you, me and Squarespace go way back, like way, way back. And I mean, whether you need like a portfolio to like, I don't know, like showcase your work or like a store to sell your products or services, like they're so good. I mean, even if you want to just like blog to share your ideas, Squarespace like gives you everything you need to like make your next move into a like total reality, including, check this out, a free domain. I mean, what? I mean, this is amazing. Did I even mention that they have like a beautifully designed templates and customizable features? I mean, it's fucking cool. Anyway, creating a website is simple and intuitive. So start your free trial today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code bonkers. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S. That is bonkers. That the code is bonkers. You'll get 10% off your first purchase. Start, your first purchase, and you have free domain with the purchase of an annual plan. So cool. Thank you, Squarespace. Today's episode is also brought to you by our good old friends at SkinFeel. Here's the deal, right? Upgrade your sex life. That's what I'm telling you. You need to upgrade it. Right now, you're running around like little Mario. You put on a SkinFeel condom, you grow, and you start kicking ass in the sex game. Is there a sex game? There should be a sex game. No, you want to do your sex right. Am I right? I talk about sex a lot, so you know I got all the lingo down. So get your sex done right with a SkinFeel condom. Why? Because they're softer and more comfortable than traditional latex, so you and your partner get a natural feel, you know, when you're doing the sex stuff, right? Plus, it's full of sensitivity for, you know, your privates and your sex stuff. Anyway, here's the deal. Skin is amazing for everyone, especially when you're having sex. I do not advocate wearing SkinFeel condoms when you're at work or just, you know, hanging around your apartment or your house. It's probably not good. I mean, they are the best condoms, but not good just to be wearing 24/7. You don't need to wear a condom all the time. I learned this the hard way. Anyway, skin condoms are just as safe as latex condoms, and they offer the same level of protection against pregnancies and STIs. Eyes, because you don't want to get that when you're sticking your thing into another thing. And you know, that's the way it works, sex. Anyway, ready to try them? Head to buycondoms.online to explore Skin. That's S-K-Y-N condoms. And they also have some personal lubricants. Oh yeah, you know, to get it all wet and gooey, you know, like for sex and more. So with the code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, you'll get free shipping on your first order, no matter what you buy. So when you're doing it sex style, make sure you get SkinFeel condoms. That's S-K-Y-N-F-E-E-L. A movie that posits, what if the mind of a killer actually was in their limbs? Never mind, that's a stupid idea. Fuck it, we'll make it anyway. We saw Body Parts, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helps to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. And hello, people of Largo. We are live here at Largo at the Coronet, our LA home. We love it here so much. If you're ever in Los Angeles, come check out a show at Largo. They have amazing shows here. And we have an amazing audience to talk about a movie that was before its time. And also at the same time should probably have never been made. It's a real great middle ground here. But to join me to talk about this movie tonight, my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas. Welcome, Jason. Welcome. Welcome, Jason.
What's up, Jax? How's everybody doing? Good?
Very excited to talk about this movie.
Ah, thrilled to be here, Paul.
I mean, this is... you know what I think I appreciate about this movie? Just
what is it that you appreciate about body parts?
You may think, oh, it's a regular
You're issue. A real Fahey head.
I am. Loved him since Lawnmower Man. Fell in love with him again on Lost as a helicopter pilot.
Frank Lapidus. A nice Greek gentleman.
But there is some acting going on here. We're going to talk about some of those scenes where there's some, like...
Oh, capital A acting.
Yeah.
This is when movies just had people just, like, taking everything fucking seriously.
This is a movie in which I think someone was like, you could probably get nominated for this. Yeah. Like, you know, like, that energy is there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a serious fucking movie we're making.
And, you know... Well, I'm sure we'll get into it, but you know who was nominated?
Who?
The person that supplied the turtlenecks.
I.
This movie is wall-to-wall turtlenecks.
I said, Jeff Fahey has not met a turtleneck that he did not like.
Like?
Or a mock turtleneck.
Those old school, like, blousy turtleneck. Like, outrageous amounts of turtlenecks in this movie.
I started to believe there was something wrong with his neck. I was like, why can't we see it? I want to see it so bad.
Prove that he's got a neck.
Tonight is a How Did This Get Made All-Star Show. So not do we have one guest. We have two amazing guests tonight. You know our first guest from such shows as Community and the show Love on Netflix. Please welcome Gillian Jacobs. Welcome. Just initial thoughts on this and seeing this movie. Like, did you know what you were expecting when you... Like, when did you know what you were going to get into on this movie?
The credit sequence. It took its time.
Thank God.
Yeah. They weren't in a rush to start.
They really did. You're right. They took a while.
Yeah, each person got like 5 seconds with just their name on the screen. I also really enjoyed the turtlenecks, and I thought that they actually told a story, which was he started when he was still optimistic wearing a lot of white turtlenecks, and then as things got worse, they were brown. And then finally, I think he was in a black turtleneck, perhaps. So I enjoyed the costume.
He turns into Steve Jobs at the end with a black mock turtleneck.
Yeah.
There is a story in the turtlenecks. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking.
Sure for him, it was like, he was like, I didn't really get the character until I found that turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another special guest here tonight. You know her also. From the show Love. Please welcome Claudia O'Doherty. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank
where
you.
Where do you fall on the turtlenecks? Did you like the turtlenecks?
I love turtlenecks, even though they don't suit my body type. But
do you like a man in a big blousy turtleneck?
No, that's deeply suspicious. But I think the turtlenecks made perfect sense because, hello, it was November. It's chilly. He has to keep warm.
Look, this, you know, I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean,
post
you know.
Up, you can't get cold because if you get, you could get an infection. It made perfect sense.
He had to keep his neck.
Legit concerns.
I guess that's why the painter was painting in a tweed sport coat with an undone bow tie around his neck as well.
He
for
was
warm.
Cold.
Yeah.
Another great movie uses turtlenecks to tell this, like, the story of the character, which is Something's Gotta Give. where Diane Keaton wears turtlenecks exclusively throughout the movie.
She wears a turtleneck really well, though. I feel like...
Oh, she looks fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like the turtleneck is kind of almost built into her neck.
Yeah.
But where here, I was not sure he had a neck. I feel like it was like...
No, it's... I think he has a very thick neck.
But he is... Well, to be fair... Just so that we can give Jeff Fahey all due respect, he has clinically been diagnosed with thick neck.
Yes. And it's cool
so
to have a thick neck.
Something he can't help.
But often the thick-necked person will put a turtleneck on because Britney Spears has a thick neck. And so often she just wears like a leotard, but it has a turtleneck.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, that's an odd...
Keep an eye out for just a turtleneck.
A turtleneck.
So it's just like a tube top and it's a turtleneck.
Exactly. That is what she wears.
I was actually diagnosed with having a thin neck. So I'm the spiritual opposite.
You're clinically thin necked.
Yes. Every time I appear on television, people write me on Twitter saying they think that I have something wrong with my thyroid. And
oh my God.
It happened.
I love when people diagnose you via the media. I saw you on TV. You look jaundiced.
Yeah. And it happened so often that I went to an endocrinologist.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because I thought, what if I actually do have something wrong with
Graves'
my neck?
Graves' disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he ran all these tests. I paid a lot of money. And after all of that, all I got out of it was, I guess you have a thin neck.
Now, did he recommend no turtlenecks because the turtlenecks may attack your thin neck?
It will make your neck look thin. That's why the thick-necked like a turtleneck.
Oh,
so you should wear
turtlenecks. I should do the opposite of a turtleneck. Mm-hmm. I should do a deep V.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, that is good.
To thicken your
to
neck.
To thicken the neck.
You know, I was saying...
I'm on a special diet that's meant to beef up my neck.
You're on that Terry Crews neck diet, right?
Neck shred.
The thing I thought about this movie, we were saying that right at the top, like, there is acting going on here. This is
well,
like, we are
going
in.
For it, for sure.
I feel like, you know, they always say like, oh, you know, in the first like scene or two, you're stating the theme of the movie or something like that. And this movie, I feel like they're like, here's the theme.
Oh,
like they
yeah,
were like,
yeah.
they threw a bunch out
oh,
at
yeah,
you.
Oh, yeah, he does that monologue at the beginning about wanting to fix a psycho. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yes. I wrote it down.
He wants to cure just one person.
Yeah. And like, you're like, okay, so that's what this is about. And then it's like, nuh-uh. It's about...
But it's not even really even about that because he's like, he literally says to his wife in bed,
Kim Delaney.
Kim Delaney.
Gorgeous.
Great haircut, too. I want her haircut.
Loved it.
Nice haircut.
Loved it.
Right?
Yep.
She looks great.
Incredible. What year is this movie?
91.
91. It is 91, right?
Yeah. 1991.
It does have that beautiful velvety look of a 90s thriller.
Yeah,
yeah. It definitely felt like it was along the lines of like the not the Fatal Attraction, but the ones that came after, like the
Disclosure.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's
Total Disclosure.
Real Disclosure.
I loved his pajama set that he's wearing when he delivers that monologue.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
I think a red patterned pajama set. I've seen nodding heads in the audience. A red patterned pajama. You don't often see men in a 2017 film in a full pajama set. So it was a nice glimpse.
Yeah, pajamas really have gone out the window for dudes.
What
like, dudes don't look good.
In... We're just wearing sweats now.
Yeah.
It's very.
Come on.
Do you have pajama sets?
Tell us.
I have a pajama set.
No.
And I have pajama sets. I'm not afraid.
I have pajama bottoms only.
Heathen.
And I let my guns air out while I sleep.
You got to for your health.
Yeah, you got to.
Because my guns can't be constricted
exactly.
during the night.
It's like
especially
my
someone
neck.
Breaks in.
Yeah, like thin neck.
I don't like a pajama top, like a buttoned top. I feel like that doesn't feel good to me and doesn't suit.
What does your pajama set look like?
Well, I have one that's like almost like a shirt that you button down the center.
Okay,
and then
you
like
would hate that from what
I don't
you just
like
said.
That. Yeah,
you
I don't like
that.
It. But I do like this pajamagram thing that someone gave me.
What's that?
A pajamagram, it's like a really comfy pajama pants and then they give you a t-shirt that's kind of fun too.
Right.
So you wear it, you still have a t-shirt on. So
wait,
like the
what is
one
fun themed? About the t-shirt?
Is it does it have a cartoon on
well,
it?
Well, it does. It does indeed.
What's the cartoon?
It was given.
Okay, honest to God.
Yeah.
What will it take to get you to post a picture of you in your pajama gram pajamas every month when you get new ones?
First of all, it's not a monthly service. It is just 1 gram. I got one pajama gram.
Okay, what's it going to take?
Did you buy them for yourself?
I got them from my dad. And
strange.
Well, that's cute. No, that's cute.
Strange.
That's
well, cute. They were given to us as a family set.
Oh, okay.
So they're
cute.
Matching.
That's
fine. Cute.
Cute.
And it says movie night. And so the shirts say movie night, and there's a big bucket of popcorn. And then the pajama bottoms are, you know, there's some popcorn and some Twizzlers or red vines, depending
film
on
film reels. Are there any film
I
reels
love it.
On there?
Yeah,
that's
full
nice.
Print bottoms.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they're real. You know, they're elasticy. They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. And sometimes
I like it.
And look, I'm not beholden to that top. I'll wear that top with a pair of shorts. I'll wear that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll wear those bottoms with a different T-shirt.
Oh, because,
you know.
Because whenever you're in the mood, it's movie night.
Oh. Get out of here. I'll put them on. I don't even have to watch a movie. The one thing I do remember, though, made one of my two-year-old kid wear one, and he's like, I don't like movie night.
Oh.
He's never
like,
even had a movie night.
Get out of this family.
He did not want, he wanted to wear his Thomas the Train pajamas instead, and it was like,
I thought you were going to say his Tommy Hilfiger pajamas. He's very label conscious.
He only wears like Calvin Klein pajamas. Yeah, so he will rail against his movie night pajamas because there's no recognizable characters on it.
Your son only wears bespoke pajamas.
I enjoyed that. So so that's my that's the pajama segment of the
okay,
show.
Okay, so yep. You guys don't know this, but every episode we spend 15 minutes talking PJ.
We let it come up, and it was actually great that you brought it up because we have to kind of casually bring it up, and it's a little bit awkward because the audience knows like, they're going to talk about it.
PJs are infantilizing, right?
I think
are
the ones
they?
That,
oh, no.
Well, I think like a set on a man, it's like deeply unflattering.
I think it's... I don't think it's a look that you want... I don't think it's a look that you want to be seen in... Or like, I would never be like, let me put on these pajamas. Like,
here's how I feel about it.
Here are my pants, and here's my top. Yeah. Ugh, yuck. I didn't think
so. I'll put them
like
on. I will put. Well, I'll wear them if my mommy puts them on.
Exactly.
My sexy mommy.
I just now had a repressed memory float to the surface, which is
share your trauma. Share your trauma.
I once dated a man who wore a full set of pajamas to a museum.
No!
Yes, and I was with him, and it was very embarrassing. And
were you shooting a Wes Anderson movie at the time?
I wish.
Because that seems like only applicable in that environment.
Yeah, he wore them out to a museum, and I think I stayed 5 feet away from him the entire time.
Oh, my God.
How much longer did you date this person?
2 years. Just like...
Well,
so, a red flag, but not really a loud enough one.
Not
where
red
do we
enough.
Fall on the hoodie, footy pajamas that I've seen out? Like it's like
no.
You're almost like a Pikachu or something.
Oh, like the all in
they're,
one.
Yeah,
thing?
They're all in one. So you kind of get
that's
in and zip it up.
Thing,
a onesie.
Yeah, that's
a onesie,
like a onesie. Yeah. It's like a pole of a fleece kind of thing.
Yeah, are you
thing.
Saying that's more acceptable then?
Absolutely not.
Okay, gotcha.
But that's like a different realm of dressing.
Oh, I don't think people should wear sweats outside of the home.
Oh, no.
And people are doing that like everywhere.
Yeah.
People are acting like monsters.
Well,
I bet some of you fucks are wearing sweats right here in this theater tonight. Raise your hand if you're wearing sweats.
Oh, yeah, stand up.
Yeah, you cowards. You fucking cowards. I guarantee you there's at least 2 sweats and 3 yoga pants.
I have found
a
happy
man,
medium.
You can see the genital.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like it. I don't
want to see the outline of anything.
Right?
Yeah. I used to,
Why?
Here's my repressed memory. I used to like play on this like basketball team with a guy who, in his in his track pants would just always outline his dick.
What do you mean?
Like it would be like everyone would be sitting around.
He would draw an outline of it.
He would just like
just to make sure you knew where it was.
Like a track pant, is like a loose
a draping fabric.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you were to like put it like you could outline your dick by just like puncturing it at different points, like you
so
know.
So he'd like swirl his fingers around his.
And then I just always remember being like, ugh, like what?
Like it tucking the pants into his underwear, perhaps, so that it bunched around his dick, or what?
I just remember.
My mom's here tonight. Hi, mom.
Paul, you may have been molested.
Well, I say intramural basketball. It was more like it was in a room, a closet, and it was my babysitter for sure. No, but anyway,
did he have a bad personality?
Yeah, he was a pretty big dick. Yeah, I didn't like that guy at all. He actually was the only he like brought up a high school fight like 10 years, 15 years maybe even after high school on Facebook. Be like, hey man, let's settle that. I'm like,
Now?
No, thank
He's
you.
He's bad news.
Yeah, that was bad news.
You got to fight this guy.
I don't want to.
You've got to adult fight him. Settle those scores.
Well, anyway, we haven't talked anything about
We haven't
movie.
Talked about the movie at all. We talked about pajamas and high school bullies.
But, you know, this movie,
this movie's flawed from the beginning.
Yeah.
Jeff Fahey plays a doctor.
But first of all, I'm not even sure what he is.
He's like a psychiatrist.
Until 20 minutes in,
oh,
right?
Oh, it's very vague. And also he is like, he's too spectacular looking to be a psychologist, right? He's like a sort of like a smaller Ray Liotta. Is that what he looks like?
Yeah, he is the other Ray Liotta, yeah.
Yeah, and he just, it just makes
He's miniature Ray Liotta.
Also, like, he just seems like too young to have that family. The ages are all over the shop.
I think he hates his son in the film.
Yeah.
I think his son hates him. Yeah. This man comes home from losing an arm, which they seemingly don't tell the kids about. He's like, all right, so let me tell you why I've been gone for a month. Like no one took these kids. And these kids aren't like children. They're like...
Yeah, they're like not... Well, no, they are
little
children.
They absolutely are children.
They're
like, they're not toddlers.
They're not toddlers. On this panel with children. I would say it's safe to say you should know that those are children in the movie.
What I would say is, I
recognize them as children.
I think of children as like really young, like
these kids were like 5 and 8.
No, they were like 9.
This is a classic. This is a real pedophile's defense.
Yeah.
That girl is like 6 years old. That's right. A child. That is what we frequently call in the biz
a
child.
Sorry.
She looks older.
This is brought up. You've brought up another issue I had through your scrolling.
Yeah.
Why are there so many incisions in the hand and the forearm if they've attached it at the shoulder?
Well, because I think what they did, and this is my terrible idea of it, but I don't think the screenwriter thought more about it, is it's almost like, oh, we have to connect the nerves, so it'd almost be like the way you would wire through a wall, like, well, we did one here, we got to snake it down here.
No, whatever nerves there are in the shoulder aren't long enough to go all the way down to the hand anymore,
It's experimental surgery, you wouldn't even know.
I think I would. And why is it that he went face first through a windshield but only has 2 cuts on his face? And why is it that his arm heals so quickly but those 2 cuts are there for the entire film?
Well, first of all, the reason why his face didn't get hurt at all is because he was carrying that tape recorder. And that blocked everything. The tape recorder that he uses as a cell phone.
Yeah.
His poor secretary that has to transcribe that.
Remind me to pick up trash bags and it's a cassette recorder.
I think that's where the idea of cell phones came from.
Wouldn't it be better if it wasn't a tape in here, but you could actually talk to the person?
That would be so cool.
Steve Jobs saw it. He left after the... Steve Jobs doesn't even know the second half of the movie. He was like...
That's where he got the turtlenecks from.
Like, turtlenecks.
It's like, I love everything about this movie. I love what the guy's wearing. I love the idea that you would talk into
carry
something
a phone.
And talk to somebody else. That's it.
That's it.
I'm going to base everything around that.
Well,
I love that you'd be mean to your kids. And then that's it. It's too edgy.
Too soon.
He's dead in the ground. Get over it.
Speaking of being mean to your kids, he kisses his wife, he kisses his daughter, and then he shoves his son's head.
But also, this
but
son's
a dick.
Because, like, the dad's been gone forever. The dad could have died, and he's like, here's my arm. And the kid's like, that's gross. Like,
he's also
it
like,
is gross, in his defense.
But maybe the kid should just, like, keep it in.
Scars all over it. But aren't the scars, like, a visual cue for you to be like, this is the psycho arm?
Well, do you think the scars were on there from the guy before?
No.
No.
Okay.
I think the evil doctor.
Because you see it in when he's in like traction. They've got like shit going into his arm or whatever.
By the way, he recovered. I mean, I don't know how long he was in there.
1 week.
But it seemed like he was lifting weights pretty quickly. Like,
well,
that
the
arm,
evil, you know, the evil really accelerated the physical therapy. I have another question. Was the bad man dead when they cut his head off?
I don't think so.
No, they said
the
it was.
The armed guards were in there, right?
They said that he was executed, but yes. Was that the execution? Or
that,
was
the graphic on the computer where the head popped off.
That was good. Indicated, I like that.
Yeah,
that
separation.
Was, yeah. So.
And then this, the best moment of the movie, the guards like, snap their fingers and everyone's like, all right, we're out. We're
and they
done.
I loved guards in Scrubs.
In Scrubs.
With shotguns.
So she got a court to allow her to have a death row prisoner who also, when you see all of his convictions on there, he was convicted of murder. Was there a prison escape? Because he's convicted of murder in like 88, 89, and then there's another murder conviction in like 91. So was there like a whole thing where he escaped from prison that we didn't get to hear about? Because how did he, or were those people in jail that he killed? Like did he kill a cellmate
or kill a guard? It also seemed like he got the death penalty relatively quickly because he was like arrested in 90 and then he was executed in 91. Like there was like, it was like the last crime was 90.
That's how it should work.
We gotta hurry up and get rid of this guy.
Yeah, like, all right, so here we go. So here it is. It is, it's like assault with a deadly weapon, first degree manslaughter. That was in 84. Felony assault and battery. That was in 89. So yeah, he got out of first degree manslaughter.
Wow.
Back these on are, the street.
By the way, these are convictions.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are, he was convicted of these crimes.
Then it so basically from 84 to 89, there was a drop off. Cause it was like assault with a deadly weapon, manslaughter. He goes quiet until 89. Then it's felony assault.
So for this is what I want. I want a movie that's those 4 years. Those 4 years where he's not convicted of any major crimes.
And Manchester then, and then by it goes, the Sea.
Then it goes like this. It goes larceny.
It's not a real movie. It's
larceny, arson, murder. Okay, well, they're all on the same days.
Yeah.
9/13/89. That was a tough day for him.
For him.
He's like, ugh, this day is killing me.
Ugh. And then after three...
I have to get through three murders today.
All right, so then three murders in that day.
All with his bare hands. That was a part of it as well.
Then he goes under for a little bit. Then a couple months later, does grand larceny. And then he kills a cop. And that's a couple months after. That's 6 months after that.
Yeah.
Like there, and then, all right. Then it was armed robbery again the next month, and it seems like he was sentenced to death in 1990 and executed in 91.
You know what I like about this guy?
Sentence executed.
What?
Wait, what happened?
It says, well, all right. So we're looking at the screen. It says. Sentenced to death in federal court on 4/27/90. Sentence executed on 11-17-91.
Yeah, so, his sentence was executed on that day.
Right, so he was sentenced to death and then it was executed. Yeah, all right. That makes sense.
It's what?
What?
Okay, guys, choose one person to speak.
Yeah, see you in the front. Oh, she said it's before the murder.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Oh. So.
Wait, what's happened?
All right, so what happened?
So he was sentenced to death before he did his last two crimes.
So he was sentenced to death on 4/27/90, but on 6/5/90, he murdered a police officer. And then on 7/15/90, he did armed robbery.
Okay, all right. I have a defense. He killed the law enforcement officer in jail and robbed the cafeteria of the prison with
Maybe, like, maybe he broke out of jail and then committed an armed robbery.
Yeah, I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little bit about me. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is turn on music, death metal music. Why? Because I am psyched to be up and I need to get up in a hardcore way. It completely changes the atmosphere of my home and immediately puts me in a better mood to hear someone going, "Where you going?" That's like the best thing I want to hear before I have my morning coffee. But even when my speaker's on full volume, I could never hear what was playing throughout my entire house until I got, check this out, a Sonos. Paul, what is a Sonos? Well, a Sonos is a wireless home sound system that fills your home with pulse-pounding sound. It's like having a monster truck in your bedroom revving its engines. Unless you listen to, like, really, like, soft music, then it's like kind of having, like, Kenny G visiting you, just playing a little clarinet in your ear. Does he play the clarinet? I don't think he plays the clarinet. But, you know, like, that's me being a jerk about music. Here's the thing. All you have to do is position your speaker where you want it. You plug it in, you tap the app, and you can stream anything you want to hear via Wi-Fi. I have these. I love these. Sonos is the shit. Before they became a sponsor of the show, I would tell everyone to get a Sonos. Why? Because wherever you are, you just do it. You can have a little speaker, you know, out wherever you are, and you don't have to go over to it. You don't have to, like, shove your phone into some weird port that, you know, an Apple makes a brand new phone or Android makes a brand new phone. And they're like, "Oh, we don't do that port anymore." And then you can't do it. Fuck that. It's all Wi-Fi, okay? So with the Sonos app, you can control everything you want from anywhere in the house. Play a different song in the living room, bedroom, and bathroom. But you'd have to have ultimately multiple speakers for this. I just want you to know, like, you can't just play different music without the speakers. You need to buy the speakers. And they got great speakers, small speakers, big speakers. You can even install speakers in your house, like up in the ceiling. Favorite music streaming services are on there. You have your entire collection of downloads, including audiobooks and podcasts. Sono lets you have it all. So you can enjoy the sounds you love anywhere in your home. Just go to Sonos.com to learn more. That's Sonos. Today's show is also paid for with a generous contribution from our good friends at Squarespace. I've told you about Squarespace. I fucking love Squarespace. Why? Because here's the deal. They're going to make your shit look good. You want to do something online, a portfolio, a blog, you want to sell your stuff, you got a restaurant, or do you want to just stop all the negative press that you're getting in the media, in this fake media? Well, create a website and be the person out there to be the first in your Google search results, right? What if you're on a dating site and, you know, somebody's like, "Oh, let me check out Mary Jackenheimer," right? Do you want, like, I don't know, some LinkedIn profile pop up, or do you want your own website to pop up where you can show this person who you really are? Mary Jackenheimer, you need to get out there and get a Squarespace website, okay? You get a unique domain, so it'll be maryjackenheimer.com, which strengthens your brand, and it's easier for visitors to find you. Plus, here's the thing. They have templates that make it so easy to create a beautiful website. It's simple and intuitive. Believe me, I know I have one. Just go to paulshear.com. That's not a plug for my own website. I'm just saying I designed it there because it's so damn easy. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. And if you have a question, they have 24/7 customer support from people, get this, who actually use the product, not somebody who's, like, just reading a manual going, like, this is not one of their five jobs. This is a real Squarespace user, okay? They are your own IT department. So make your next move your best move by going to squarespace.com today. Enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase. And if you purchase an annual plan, ooh, you get a free domain. Oh, you like that, don't you? You like that, you dirty bird. Anyway, that's BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S.
What I like about this guy is that he's not just one thing. He's not just a murderer. He also is an arsonist. He's not just an arsonist and a murderer. He also steals stuff. Like, he mixes it up.
Well, that to me, again, like, this movie is obviously flawed from the get.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, because I think the simpler idea would be, what if you got the arm of a serial killer,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the easiest thing. Like, he is just a straight up murderer. He was like, you know, like a Hannibal Lecter-esque kind of a character. Then at least it's like, oh, and then the arm wants to kill. But this, the arm wants to do a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
It wants to do arm, wants to finger, wants to do arm robbery, wants to do arson.
It's true.
Like,
what if you just got the arm of a serial fingerer?
Heaven.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. This thing's got a mind of its own.
Like, he literally, if I'm his wife, I'm a little freaked out that the first time he's back at home, he's like, let's not have sex. Let me finger you with my new crazy arm.
Yeah,
well,
for a spin.
Let me ask you this.
I played football with my son and I fingered my wife. Works great, Doc. Thanks.
She loved it, too. She was so happy.
She was so into it. Is that cheating? Guys, it's not his arm.
I would have liked the movie better if it opened up with him fingering her and she's like, eh. And then when the arm came in, he's like,
And then that sends him into like a tailspin of like, fuck.
And I'm sorry that your mom is here. I keep on remembering.
And then he goes back to the woman, the British woman from Sherlock, and he's like, I need that murderer's dick. Quick. Put the murderer's dick on me. I just figured it out. None of my shit's working for my wife. Give me all the killer dicks you can get.
But it doesn't. But I guess, and then again, just, I mean, it just bears the saying it out loud. Like, the arm of a serial killer, that's not where the evil resides.
Well, that's the question of the film.
I think it could be
in the skin. That's what we're trying to figure out.
There's like an evil brain in the arm and the legs and the other arm. Well, no, there's like an artistic brain in the other arm.
Right, because the other guy gets the arm.
That guy loves it.
And he's like, because they're all having like nightmares. Like the limbs are giving them nightmares.
Yeah.
That are very graphic and violent. And then the artist... Okay. I want to talk about how that artist...
Brad Dourif, who's playing the artist, who is a fucking genius.
He's going to town in that movie.
Yeah, he plays the doctor on Deadwood and is the best. But my favorite thing...
Also, he has the best thing on IMDb. Like, his headshot is like a black and white. It looks like... It almost looks like a... Not Harold Lloyd headshot. It's like black and white, and he's like wearing a little straw hat. It's like, I don't know why that's his main headshot.
Headshots are rough.
He's like killing it with the art, you know? Like, he's inspired. The arm is inspiring.
The New York Times called him.
Right, the New York fucking Times. But then he's like, before I was drawing this, and he pulls out like nonsense.
A Jackson Pollock painting.
No, he pulls out like a...
No, but what do you
like
have the...
Thomas Kincaid.
But there's also randomly a Jackson Pollock audience. You noticed this. Thank you. There's like bad landscapes, and then I thought the story was going to be I was an art forger before the arm. Because there's a straight up Pollock in
there. I was like, his paintings prior to are so bad. How did he have an agent? How is he an artist?
Oh, yeah, because he took off so quickly.
But it also seemed like, that's not how the art world works. Like, I got some new shit. Whoa, we're going to sell this for millions. Like, it was like, he says I made $200,000. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, $215,000. Like, I don't think that the art, like, why would the art world work that quickly in that way?
I have another question. Does the press only know about Jeff Fahey's transplant? Why?
Also, follow up. Sherlock Lady told Jeff Fahey's wife that they had to do the operation immediately.
Right. Yes.
That must mean all of their operations happened immediately
at the same time.
Why weren't they rehabbing together? Why did they, you know?
Well, the guy who got his legs was like way after because that guy.
And that's what I can't figure out because they must have done. They cut the guy's head off.
Yes. Okay, why did they bring Jeff Fahey awake into the operating theater to watch a man's head be cut off with a saw?
And why is he the only one?
Also, he's in that operating room with police with guns. Why doesn't it occur to him then? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Why are these guys here?
Something's
was
off.
Just quick question, Doc. When I was going under, I thought there was a SWAT team in the operating room.
Also,
why? Why that?
He is like when he leaves the hospital, he's bombarded by press. This is like a news story.
I think it's because he's like the hottest psychologist in America.
And people want to know what's going on.
What's up with him every day? They're like, oh no, he's in an accident. What happened?
Because to me, it seems like they're also like this crazy surgery. Like, wouldn't like one investigative journalist be like, hey, who donated that arm?
And also, he was like, she's going to win a Nobel Prize for this operation. Yeah. But what about the other two operations?
Was that on the DL? Like, did she
that
not like.
That seems to have been on the DL. I also have a confession and a question.
Yeah.
The confession is, I fell asleep during the movie. Sure. But it was a micro sleep.
For 1.5 hours.
But, and so I like read the Wikipedia, because yeah. I was like, you know the bit when he like. I mean, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, you can get here because I think I did the
but
same
the
reading.
But the wild bit when, like, he, Charlie, the murderer, who looks 20 years older than the doctor. Yeah. So he comes stumbling out of the car carrying the limbs. Mm-hmm. And then she comes and she, like, looks at him for a while and then she gives him her jacket. And I was like, what's going on?
Oh,
but that's
they
like,
are... Then, fucking.
No. Well, according to the...
Because he's got that murderer dick.
He's got that murder dick.
Guys,
but he doesn't because his head's
back.
On some other dude's body. He could be on
the... We didn't see the dick floating in that.
Yeah.
No, it had like a special penis pouch on it. Like, it was like a little pouch in the front. Like,
modesty.
Oddly, like, they put like some thing on it. It was
a
like,
modesty oh, pouch.
Modesty pouch. But the Wikipedia said the reason she's his mom.
What?
Oh.
Wikipedia says the surgeon, Dr. Webb, is Charlie's mom.
I wish they would have told us that.
But that makes no sense because the age, like, he looks way older than her.
What?
Right?
Yeah, right.
No.
Wikipedia.
Hollywood sexism strikes again.
Also, she's British, so was she coming over to America and then giving birth to a serial killer?
I agree with Claudia. Get these foreigners out of our country.
Finally, MAGA.
Build
MAGA,
that
MAGA.
Wall. Build that wall. What?
Wait,
guys?
Well, I will go and just kind of circle with your confusion and say, when it was revealed that Charlie was the murderer, I was like, oh, the murderer is a character that we have not met or has been teased at all.
Yeah,
like,
we shouldn't feel anything about him.
Yeah, they're like, dun dun. I'm like, who is that? And I pulled out Wikipedia. I was like, oh, right. Okay, the murderer was named Charlie. But they don't really ever...
They're just hoping you have residual Charles Manson feelings about the name Charles and murder. So you're just like, Charlie.
It was so weird. And the fact that he recognized him because in his picture, he looked like an older
man. Older.
And then he looks like this, which Avril pulled together. Like, he looks a little bit like Jim Carrey. He looks a little bit like Jim Carrey at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
He's bald. I thought he had a beard in the beginning.
Yeah, that's actually true. He does look a lot younger in this picture than he did at the beginning of the movie.
I have a question. If you were a serial killer who could, and your limbs were evil, wouldn't it be good if your limbs were on a lot of different people? Because you could murder so many more people.
Like, yeah, your limbs wouldn't just want to get back
to
the body.
No, because you couldn't take credit for it.
Well,
but wouldn't
I feel
it
like
give
it would
you
be like,
pleasure to know?
No, that was
know?
Me. That one was all me.
But were the legs trying to kill the basketball man? Like, did the legs want him to die when they accelerated?
I think the legs just wanted the speed.
I think
the legs were like, let's drive wild. Yeah, like,
okay.
Yeah, let's drive crazy.
Because again, he's multiple things.
But so as people who didn't sleep, have a little sleep in the movie, was it? Did they ever say that she's his mom?
No.
I did not get that.
Well, that's baloney.
They didn't even hint at it.
Well, there's no discernible reason.
No, okay, thank you.
There's no discernible reason in the movie that she's doing it.
She gives him a jacket, though, Paul, remember?
No.
She's like,
you're my Frankenstein monster. But there's no reason why she feels... There's no reason, like...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
No.
Because this mother theory answers something that bothered me, which is... Why does it almost seems as though she's trying to keep him alive?
Yes. Right.
And that's what I didn't understand. I didn't understand why. I understand her drive to see achieve the glory of this scientific achievement
medical
that she's done.
Glory.
Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. All of that would be enough for me to understand why she's behaving the way she is. But why does she bring him back and take care of a straight up murderer? And if it's her son,
I get it. If it's her son. Well, according to the Wikipedia, because I was like, I think I was asleep for like 5 seconds. And I was like, when did this all get revealed? She wanted to keep him alive, but he was sentenced to execution. So she was like, guys, don't worry about sizzling him on the chair. I'll take care of it. And then I'll chop off his head and his legs. And then I'll scatter them throughout other people.
Yeah.
And then... no one will need to execute him anymore. And then I'll bide my time, let everything get real spooky for a while for everyone.
And then chop
him back together.
And what she knows is that evil is contained within the limbs.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, that actually...
Because he seems
like, that gives me plenty some comfort
badass.
Because the way the movie is, it doesn't tell you anything. It's like,
no.
She's just like a doctor who seems in the movie intent on just proving the science... works that you can reattach limbs.
Yes.
But then it's like, but I also, like, I'm keeping him. Like, there's no reason for
why
anything.
Why does he Not want about. His limbs back?
Because.
Easy for you to say, Jason. You've got all your limbs.
Okay.
Yeah, like, right,
to be
if his
fair,
head.
I have 3 of 4.
But if his head was attached to another body, aren't you, like, well, are they
he
saying
seems
that is like
plenty of badass.
Yeah,
that's
on this
what
new
I'm
body.
Saying. He could kill more people by having his limbs scattered among the population. The one arm could be killing people. The other arm could be killing people. The legs could be kicking people. And then the head could be carrying out murder. So I would think this would be your greatest dream. You're outsourcing murder as a serial killer.
I think you're right. I also want to just talk about these legs because. That basketball player gets him.
Nice legs.
Well, when that basketball player gets him, he fucking dunks like a motherfucker. Yeah. He's like, wah, bam.
Now,
like,
here's my question. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen Charlie be good at basketball?
Yeah.
Yes.
And just even to bring it back one more step, wouldn't it have been better if the prisoner that Jeff Fahey's talking to is Charlie? Yes.
Wait. Do they tattoo people on death row? Why did he never notice that he had a tattoo on the new arm? And why is that a thing that when you're on death row you get a tattoo on your wrist?
No, that's a bummer if it's a thing.
It's like, yeah,
it's
you're
like they all get them together like the people that did Lord of the Rings together.
You're just jealous you don't have
I one. Want a death row tattoo.
But in Stryker doesn't even seem to be like
I didn't get
a
that.
Death row terminology.
No, what is that?
Yeah, like it was like, it should just be like, I don't know, death row?
I thought for sure, to this point, that the arm was going to be the arm of the guy he'd been talking to.
Yes.
Who seemed unrepentant and like
and
gleeful.
And had nothing to do with the plot.
Yes.
No.
And that guy was also sentenced to death. It almost
And we
always,
know him.
Yeah.
We know him.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Be interesting.
Why not know him so that then Jeff Fahey can be, he's like, I want to understand this man. I want to cure him. What if that man was then in his head? That's a fucking movie.
That guy's also really acting up a storm.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. He's great.
Talking at a normal volume, then he's screaming, then he's normal.
By the way, that is an acting technique that Jeff Fahey must have watched and be like, I'm going to steal that for my later scene because I liked it.
But couldn't you imagine a young actor sitting in a movie theater in 1991 watching this opening scene, transcribing that, and then bringing that monologue into acting class the next week? Like, just being like, ooh, so much to work with.
Can you fix me? Can you rewire me?
But starting with the maniacal laughter, which surely indicates psychosis.
Yeah, he's a cookie
So
bird.
We'll put this out to you, How Did This Get Made audience. Film yourself doing the monologue from the beginning of this movie.
Please do that.
We will. Tweet it to us at HDTGM.
We will put that on that Twitter like nobody's business.
Can I say my favorite part?
Yeah.
Definitely, I love the way he writes in his journal and his wife is like straddling him from behind in the park.
Oh, at the
she
end.
She should have curved around him like a shrimp, like two interlocked shrimps. As he writes his journal.
Well, by the way,
in the also, park, who
she is very shrimp-like.
Yeah, and the shrimp kind of pose.
She, when she's shrimping him, and he's there, the odd choice where they should have went to.
Paul, do you prefer to be big shrimp or little shrimp?
I like to be jumbo shrimp, but sometimes I'll be baby shrimp. But like she's shrimping him, and then where it should have been like a freeze frame or just cut to black, they're like, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
No, it's so
keep
weird.
It rolling. And it's not a freeze
keep
frame.
Shrimping.
It's
keep shrimping.
It's like and there's like people actively moving. It's almost like it's comedic. It's like people are playing back like
so
they're frozen and it's like people are playing basketball in the background, people are running by.
I know, like, it was like a beautiful painting. But also there was like kind of scary music on, so I was like, is he about to like strangle her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very strange end.
Wait, are we supposed to believe that the killing of Charlie makes the arm not listen to Charlie
anymore? If you
anymore?
Kill the head, then
it's like a zombie.
So the answer is evil resides in the brain, but then it can control the limbs even if they're connected to other people.
Right.
That's the answer.
I guess,
good night.
I guess... Because I guess like there's like that idea like sometimes if you lose an arm or a leg, like you have like a feeling of a phantom limb.
Yes.
So maybe that if it ever gets transplanted, you can teleport over to it.
Yeah.
All right,
how did he know where the basketball man lived?
He saw it on the medical report.
Well, he's got a photographic memory then because he just looked at it once and then weeks or days later just drove over to his house.
Or the arm knows where the legs are.
That makes more sense.
Like I would believe, like, get me there.
But by the way...
Or get me there.
This movie...
That would be great if there was a scene where he gave himself a fantastic hint.
He's like, ah, and then he started choking himself.
But also, wait... He moves into a hotel and immediately buys an answering machine.
Oh, and can I say...
That's a clever recording.
That message is insane. Because he's been a very serious man. He's scared about his psycho arm. And then his wife's like, oh, you tried to kill me. Get out. And then he leaves like this sarcastic answer machine message where he's like, I guess I'm in exile. And it's like, yeah.
You tried to kill your wife. Fuck.
Also, you never see him apologize for hitting his son or
not
being...
Not just hitting his son.
Yeah.
He like, clobbers that kid. Ah!
But I never feel
the
like...
The kid also like fully jumps on him.
Yeah, they don't have a good relationship.
Well, that's like, you know what? That's always the thing. Therapists always have the craziest kids.
Wait, but what about the... I didn't think the caring of the limbs was right. Because when he did take off the guy's leg, or the arm of the artist just popped off like a He-Man figure, he seemed to just like have an arm on the dash. There were like legs in the back seat.
Legs in the back.
Like
reckless. No ice.
Very reckless.
Yeah, like
for the son of a surgeon, he had no idea what to do.
I loved the visual of him just like hoisting a leg over his shoulder.
Yeah. That was
cars
actually
on
quite
fire.
Sweet,
cars on
I
fire.
Thought.
He's like, where's my legs? Okay. Oh, don't forget my arm on the dash.
But also, when he went to kill the artist, he like storms in, throws him out the window, and then the artist grabs on with his crazy arm, and then he reaches out the window and he rips off that arm. But how did he know? I guess he controls the arm. Like, because he just tosses him out the window.
Yeah, also, right. He would have to be like, I hope he hangs on because I need that.
Yeah, you better hang on because the arm is the point.
Once he handcuffs himself to Jeff Fahey.
Brilliant.
Sequence.
I mean, that's when I... I didn't actually fall asleep, but that's when I really woke up.
Jeff Fahey's in one police car. There's another police car, and they are handcuffed as the police cars are racing down a semi-busy street.
Yeah.
Not super busy.
Not in a police car, though.
He's in a car.
Okay.
So if his goal is
Did you say he's in a cop car?
What? Oh, No, there's a cop car, and a cop's car.
Yeah.
Oh.
With that detective guy who's weird.
Detective hat.
Yeah.
I only saw that hat. And I had so many questions about his detective style, because when he gets into that fight at the bar and he's kicking that guy's ass, Detective Hat comes in and then seemingly lets him go. And then when he finds the guy like murdered, he's like, hey, why did you guys fight at the bar? It's like, you should have asked that question at the bar.
He never took him in.
He's a very bad detective.
But okay, so when he handcuffs him to the arm, if his only goal is just to rip the arm off of him and he doesn't care how he does it, why doesn't he just make an immediate sharp right turn and rip the arm off? Why is he following the cop car on the turn?
Here's
like
what
an
I'm
exquisite
say
stunt driver.
Yeah. Also, handcuff Jeff Fahey's arm to your car. Why handcuff it to your arm?
But like, also,
you're also
the level
immediately
of
making yourself vulnerable to a pretty bad injury.
I guess he doesn't care about that body. But the other thing I would say is you're also opening yourself up to a lot of mishaps. Like, what if the arm just got cut off at the wrist?
Yeah.
Or at the elbow? I mean, it's like
plan ruined.
Yeah. Like you got to get it from the shoulder or down.
Yeah.
Like, this is not.
He was really just vibing the whole murder spree. Because he was bad at it. It's just ripping things off.
I just don't
understand.
But that's
Charlie for you. Yeah, he's crazy.
Charlie should have been happy.
Charlie
should have been happy with his neck brace. Charlie should have just even waited until the neck brace healed before he went out collecting body parts.
Right.
I guess a head transplant takes a lot longer to heal than an arm.
But you know, Charlie,
by the way, when they break
impatient. He's impatient. He's got to get back to murdering.
When they break his neck. That was, I honestly haven't felt like this in like a horror movie. I was like, ooh, I didn't like the way his neck broke.
Oh, because it was good acting. Because
that was good acting.
He made it really floppy. It was gross.
Yeah, it was weak because he didn't have muscles to.
I know, and I didn't like it.
Also, clearly the British lady's doctor assistant was an extra and not allowed to speak because he was just silently standing there as people were dying and he was in grave danger and didn't have any kind of response to it. That's one of my favorite things in movies is when actors talk to extras and you can tell they've been told they're not allowed to respond back and they just like nod or kind of look at them oddly. So I really enjoyed Evil Henchman Doctor number one.
Look, we need to spend a lot of money on the special effects makeup on this movie, so you can't say
a fucking word.
We can't pay you $200 more for this.
But I just feel like my character would say something.
Also, the most anticlimactic gun battle of all time. It's like they're all like a foot away from each other, like bing, bing, like just shooting each other.
Yeah,
no one's thinking.
Yeah, it was shot in a way where it didn't seem scary at all.
No,
like,
yeah,
it was just like you'd see impact, but you weren't sure where it was going.
It was
like,
it was like ricochets.
Yeah,
there was a lot of ricochets.
Yeah, like it.
Why did he not bring the cop with him to have backup
and
another?
Hat?
Yeah.
He had
Why
to buy
not
a new
pick
hat.
Up Detective Hat? Because that's the thing is, he takes Detective Hat's police car, and you think he's going chasing after Charlie, but he doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
He just drives to the
hospital.
Which is weird. So just
I thought he was going to cut his arm off, the arm off himself. That's what I
By
thought
way,
he was
that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Cool idea.
Guys, let's remake this movie.
Yeah. I mean, we can make this movie.
This might be one
better.
Of those movies that deserves to be remade.
I did like the squiggling tank of body parts when he
had
to
yes.
put
Well, they're having a very serious
very Damien
scene.
Hirst.
Yeah. Love that squiggle tank.
By the way, we should just play this scene because it is worth watching this. Them having a really serious acting scene behind a tank full of like floating body parts. And this is a good use of quiet talk, loud talk.
Grafting on of limbs was only the beginning.
The beginning? Saving Charlie Fletcher's head so he can run around and kill people? It's quite an achievement, Doctor.
Science, like nature, destroys to build. I'm
that's
part
the
of
body.
A process that's bigger than all
I
of us.
I think that dick is gone.
Now, we transplant heads.
And dicks.
Full brain chemistry and functions intact.
And jizzing.
Don't you see where this can lead?
No.
I don't think she is his mom.
Yeah.
No.
Straight to hell!
That's a good yell act.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. Fuck you.
Whoa.
And that's when Charlie comes in. But she presents a plan where she's like, don't you see I can attach heads so no one will ever die? I think that that's what she's
right.
saying.
Yeah, because she was just like, this is cool.
Yeah. But why reattach his... I don't... So...
Why does she want to keep Charlie alive? Who is clearly a murderer.
She might be his mom.
I wish that had been in there.
If that were clear, it would have been way better.
I would like to have had some answer
agree.
To it.
Agree.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show to hear a word from our sponsors. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have not heard about this before, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to blow your fucking mind, okay? It is a show on CISO called Shrink. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal, right? What happens when a med school graduate with $500,000 in student loans can't find a job and starts conducting free therapy sessions for patients that he finds on Craigslist? Well, there's only one way to find out. Watch the brand new series Shrink, featuring Tim Baltz and other top Chicago comedians, only on CISO. This show is legit funny. It's a little dark. It's really, really good. Tim Baltz is amazing. If you have seen him on Bajillion Dollar Properties, you already love him. So why don't you check out his own show? He is now going off. He spun himself off, not as the same character, but as a brand new character. Plus, did I tell you about CISO? Oh, man. Oh, CISO. They got so much cool stuff. Unlimited access to original series, next day late night, hilarious stand-up specials, binge-worthy classics, including 42 seasons of Saturday Night Live. I challenge anyone to binge watch 42 seasons of Saturday Night Live. And when you do, get back to me, because then you're a true comedy fan. Plus, they got the entire Monty Python catalog, the It Crowd, or the IT Crowd, however you want to pronounce it. I call it the It Crowd because it sounds cooler, but then also it's IT Crowd. I guess that's how they meant the title to be. Oh, man. Plus, CISO has other great original series like My Brother and Me, and Dan Harmon's animated series that Jason and I are on this brand new season called Harmon Quest. It's so good. Everything is handpicked, ad-free, and on demand. You can watch it anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, Apple TV, and any device for only $3.99 a month. Comedy fans, get on this shit. Go to CISO, CISO.com right now. Sign up for 1 month free with the promo code BONKERS at checkout. That's CISO.com, spelled CISO.com. Promo code BONKERS, CISO.com, promo code BONKERS.
Let's go to the audience and see what they think. We'll poll them. Do you think this is his mom or not? But also, do you have any questions that we haven't talked to? If you ask a good question, I'll give you a good prize. Oh, we have some questions over here. Okay, great. Sir, your name, I want to hear your vote. Is it her mom? Is he the mom or she the mom?
It's his mom.
All right, you believe it's the mom. One vote for mom. All right, what's your name and your question?
My name is Alex, and why was his arm strong as shit? Like, that arm, that one arm could break out of braces and do all this stuff, but he couldn't break out of certain stuff.
Right. It's funny because he wasn't like getting the arm of the Rock or something like that. Like,
that's a better movie.
Oh, 100%. There you go. 100%.
He's given the Rock's arm. Can you imagine if the arm was like three times as big as it is?
All right. Do you believe that the doctor was the mother?
I gotta go with mom. It's the only thing that even starts to approach making sense.
All right, two votes. All right, we're getting
That's
into
exciting.
It.
That's exciting. I'm feeling great about this.
Your name and your question.
My name's Jeremy. Quick point first. I think there's a little bit of love for one of the supporting actors in the script. The two death row inmates we know of are Charlie Fletcher and Ray. Charles Lee Ray is Chucky from Child's Play.
Oh, okay. Look at that. Look nice. All right.
Whoa. Very
good. Delish. Over my head.
The movie has this premise of like the evil goes through the transplanted body parts. Maybe these were the first limb transplants, but skin grafts and organ transplants had occurred before 1991. So what the hell was happening before this?
Yeah. Evil livers, etc.
I got a drink, and I never, I'm not an alcoholic.
I've got a possessed gallbladder.
I got to eat this fatty food. All right, let's go
but
back
that's
here.
That's actually the plot of Untamed Heart's, like a baboon's heart. Forget what I was saying.
Wait, but does she want to, like, eat bananas and stuff? There's like
and falls in love with Marissa Tomei.
Christian
it's
Slater.
It's good.
Because the baboon had previously been in love with
Marissa Tomei. Yeah, she used to date the baboon.
I have a question for the nerds. is this not the plot of another movie? Idle Hands.
But that was much later. But
was that Devon Sawa?
Yes.
Wow. I think I saw that.
Did anyone else think that the painting, one of the paintings the artist did was the fingering and not choking?
Wow.
By the way, I would pay upwards of $10,000 for a painting called The Fingering.
By the Mom, way, didn't we think that the painting was the fingering? Yes, didn't we? Yeah, we did. She won't say. We thought it was the fingering.
By the way, that's what that made the whole $215,000 was a fingering. That was it. The one. When I'm talking to this
I like
person,
you and your mom just watching this movie, being like, "Do you think that's a painting of the fingering?" I think so.
It was also 6:30 in the morning when we were watching
what?
This movie.
Oh, because you guys had partied all night.
You know me.
All right, so we were talking to somebody here with a What's Up Jerks shirt.
Wait, what?
Yeah, stand up.
What do you mean, What's Up Jerks the shirt? Nice.
What's Up Jerks the
shirt. Homemade?
Yes.
Okay, well, right. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, it's my fucking catchphrase.
That was an excitement, yes.
What's that?
That was an excitement, yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Do you think the mom is the doctor? The doctor's the mom?
My mom and I actually watched that today, and
wait,
she...
is this a fucking movie everybody's watching with their mom?
This is like the travel hood of the sister.
What's happening? Wait, is your mom wearing a shirt?
No.
No?
No.
Why, do you hate me, Mom?
I'm the Jason fan in the house.
Okay.
Oh!
Not the Jason.
Gilliam?
All right, so yes, do you think the doctor is a mom?
My mom thought that they were in a relationship. She thought they were.
That's what I thought, too.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So my question is, at the beginning of the movie, he goes back to class, which was another aspect of his job that we really didn't go back to. But he starts the class off by saying, 4 months ago, we began talking about blank. Was his class on hold for 4 months? Like,
true.
I don't think college
works that
way.
Was there not a substitute teacher?
And then if the substitute teacher, did he not go over that?
He just kept on going like, read this next chapter. And then he sat there quietly at the front of the class.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was also bothered by the fact that their bedside tables were much higher than the mattress.
Yeah, that makes you feel like you're sinking. It's not a good thing to do.
It's bad interior design.
It's bad feng shui.
It's bad.
All right, sir.
Marie Kondo wouldn't approve.
Sir, do you think that they... Come closer to me. Do you think that the doctor is a mom, or do you think they're in a relationship?
I think it's the mom, although I don't know why they have different last names then.
Because right. because she and the dad broke up.
Okay.
All right, so... Your question.
My question is, did you guys notice how rough the cuts were for some of these scenes? So, for example, he says, like, let's go play catch, and they play catch for, like, 5 seconds, and then it just goes to the next scene.
I did notice that it felt like it was edited harshly.
Clumsily.
Like
I also noticed in that scene something I really don't care for, and that's when kids call their father Pop.
Oh, yeah.
I have thoughts. You know what? No thanks. Point number two, don't do that. It doesn't look good. Did anybody here grow up calling their father Pop? Did anybody here grow up in the teens? Because I think that's the last time people called their fathers Pop.
He was a newsie.
Yeah.
All right, sir, what's your verdict? Mom is in relationship or mom is, or doctor is...
I think it's mother,
100%. All right, 100% mother. All
right, this is cool.
Yeah. Your question.
My question is, whose body is that?
Well, that's a good question. Like, whose body? I mean,
who just lost their head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they took somebody out from the morgue. Cut off their head, then put his head on it.
Let's make a movie about that situation.
But I do feel like that was like her whole point at the end. Like, don't you see? I was able to transplant heads. But then she must be mad. She's like, but this fucking idiot is going around collecting his other body parts. Like, just like he doesn't get it. He's got a body. Like, There's no reason for him to collect. There's no reason that she wants them all back. There's no reason for anything
unless
to happen.
Unless she's his mom and she loves him and she knows that he loves his arms and legs. And she
and
just
she's
wants
like,
him
you know,
to be happy.
I used to like wash those little arms and legs in a bath.
Exactly.
And...
By the way, I gotta say, I'd rather a head transplant than an arm transplant. Way less scarring, it looks like. He wasn't even in traction there. His arms look great. He seems very strong. He ripped an arm
You'd
off by his own bare hands.
You'd rather a head transplant?
What?
You'd rather a head transplant?
It seems like no muss, no fuss. I mean, he's out there. He's out there with a shotgun. He's ripping people's arms off. He's driving a car. He's... It doesn't seem like there's any real downside to it.
Yeah,
unless
all he
someone
has to
picks
do is wear turtlenecks and it'll be fine.
Did anyone read a book about a girl who was in a bad car accident and wakes up and they've put her brain into a gorilla's body? Did anyone read this book as a tween?
Wait a second. Gillian, are you writing this book right now?
Doesn't it sound cool?
Would
like
you buy it?
Available for pre-order, Gillian Jacobs.
If it was available as a Kindle single, you'd probably
exactly.
go right now.
No one read this book except for me. No one.
And
no
when
one.
I tell you this audience is like composed entirely of book nerds, that book doesn't exist.
Mom, you know this book exists. She's
but just wait until the podcast comes out. Someone will figure it out and we will make sure
that
you find out.
There's going to be a bunch of nerds who are like, I know the book you mean.
She All right, wakes sir. Up, she's living with gorillas, she communicates with a...
Wait, so wait,
it's
what
real,
happens?
Guys.
Wait, so wait, she's in a car accident and they put her brain in a gorilla?
Yes.
And then did she ever get out of that?
I don't think so. It was a melancholy YA novel.
Wow.
So she lives out the rest of her life inside a gorilla's body?
Yeah, she has to live with gorillas, and she can still communicate with other people by typing into a keyboard. I see a screen illuminating someone's face. Are
Doesn't
you Googling this?
Doesn't that happen
this?
In the Mad
You're Googling
brain?
It, right?
If What's someone up? Finds
hat.
It, raise your
this
hand.
Hat's got, this hat's looking it up.
All right, we'll come back to that.
What do you got, hat?
The hat has it.
Hat,
all right,
what do you
coming
got?
Down,
hat.
I'm coming down. I'm coming down.
Hey, hat.
Hat.
Where's hat?
Hat.
We're talking to you.
Hat.
What's
hat. Somebody?
Hat.
Hat, report in.
Detective hat? Have you found it? He's on the Google. He's on a Google result page.
Faster!
What if you went up and you were like, "Oh no, he's just sending dick pics."
No one has found
it up.
The YA novel about the gorilla girl.
Teen girl gorilla.
All right. While we're looking up that, sir, your name, your
Siri?
Verdict on the doctor. Is it a
Siri,
mother? Is it a love
book
interest?
Where a girl's mind is put into a gorilla's
Here
body.
Here, hold on. Here's Bryce.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was both, actually, in this situation.
Like an Oedipus complex.
Exactly, exactly. So when Bill Cruikshank's his name?
Yeah.
Or Cruikshank's?
Dr.
Cruikshank, which
Excuse
isn't
me,
a real
Dr.
name,
Cruik,
I don't think.
Cruikshank. When he gets together with the artist and Murder Legs, whoever that is.
Oh my God, I wish this movie was called Murder Legs. Murder Legs.
Oh, he found it! He found it!
All right,
okay, we'll
all right.
Get
wait,
Paul.
Wait,
walk away from that person.
Walk away!
Paul,
walk away!
Abandon.
Bryce.
Abandon Murder
wait,
Legs.
Wait. Bryce, you got
Hat's
it.
Hat's got it.
All right, Bryce. Wait, Bryce. Finish your question.
But
we'll go
fast.
To
fast.
Did it never occur to them to have like a murder Voltron situation to stop the murders from stopping happening in the first place?
Ooh, that's a good point.
You mean like they should have joined?
They should have all
their limbs
teamed
together?
Up. They should have all combined forces.
I get it.
Wait a second. What's a Voltron, you nerds?
Voltron was like
a
show.
Transformer? No.
Like, yeah. It was a show
Voltron
where...
Voltron was a cartoon where, yeah, all these people were in robot lions and tigers kind of things, and they would fight, but then when shit would get really bad, they would jump all together and form like a mega robot
right.
that would like that would
sword.
Fight like... That would fight kind of kaiju big monsters kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds cool.
Did
right?
anybody
that's, what,
did,
that's right. Voltron,
did anybody
right?
ever watch Tattooed Teenage Mutant Fighters from Beverly Hills? All right. This is another thing people think I made up. Someone else watched it. And they had tattoos and they would glow when it was time for them to fight. And then their boss was a big blob. And they all worked at a coffee shop in Beverly Hills. Clap if I'm right. Thank you.
Wow, all right, I'm
you
into this.
You dorks.
All right, so you have found the book. You can read the Wikipedia page.
Eva is a science fiction novel for young adults set in a dystopian future. It features the hybrid that results when the brain patterns and memory of a dying girl are transferred into the brain of a chimpanzee. Dickinson researched chimp behavior for the book, and he dedicated it to Jane Goodall. It was highly commended for the annual British Carnegie Medal, and it won a retrospective Phoenix Award. It is one of Dickinson's best-known works.
All right, there it is.
Whoa!
Good researching. You're going to get this two prize pack.
I love a mic drop moment on a YA victory.
Everybody go out and read Eva.
I knew it.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Your question.
I was going to ask the question earlier.
All right. Into the mic.
Whose body that is, but why would they have ever, I could not stop thinking, why would they ever transplant the head and the brain of a mass murderer? That was like a great idea.
I think Sherlock Lady was like filled with the hubris of what she could do and just wanted
and also,
to do it.
Whose head can I chop off right now?
Yeah, she had access to Charlie's head.
No, but I think that the only way it makes sense is if she had a relationship or was his mom. I think that was the whole idea, right? It wasn't just like, wouldn't it be cool to bring back a serial killer and like give him back his body?
I would love it if at the end of the first operation scene with Jeff Fahey, you like they went through it and then you just saw her be like, you guys want to see something cool?
All right, sir. Where do you fall on the doctor?
She has to be the mom. That's the only way anything makes sense.
Okay, and your question. By the way, I'm looking at his notebook and there's a giant print fingering with a box around it.
Now, question is
must
that
find
your...
out what fingering is.
are those your notes or is that a to-do list?
All right, here we go. Your question.
Okay. So, Jason, which Jacob's Ladder scenario is more likely? A, that this is the last moments of his life in the crash, or B, that first convict we see immediately goes to the electric chair and he imagines this horrible fate for his psychiatrist.
Oh, A. This is, I mean, like, listen. Guys, let's be honest.
That car crash is so ridiculous.
This is a prime candidate for Jacob's Ladder. Prime candidate. In that, during the car accident where he is launched from the car, the entirety of this movie flashes before his eyes before he even hits the ground. Because it has the logic of a Jacob's Ladder fever dream. You know, like, it doesn't really add up, so why would... I agree, it's a Jacob's Ladder.
Can I tell you guys...
Put it on the list.
I didn't realize this. Of course it's a Jacob's Ladder, but the thing I thought about the other day, I was really scared to see this movie when I was a kid because this came out, I think, right after the Jeffrey Dahmer thing, and I remember I thought people were like, this is about Jeffrey Dahmer, or like my kid brain was like, this is a movie about Jeffrey Dahmer. And I thought it was going to be like a really violent movie, but... It doesn't, and this movie was like pulled from theaters because of they wanted to be like sensitive to the body parts kind of connection. And I really think they should just watch the movie and be like, that's fine.
If anything, this distracts us from the Jeffrey Dahmer that is.
By the way, if I'm the studio, I'd be like, pull the movie. Pull the movie because it's going to be good press for a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Right. So, your name, where do you fall in the doctor, and, of course, your question.
Okay, my name is Leslie. I think it's also just hubris. It's not a question as much as a theory. Okay. So, at the beginning of the movie, we talked about how he wants to cure someone.
We really
someone.
Talked about it.
You all talked about how he wants to cure someone just once, and... I think most of the movie is actually just in his head because he's experiencing like a lot of professional doubt in his career because ultimately he just defeats, like he just, his will is what defeats the arm and makes it good and he cured himself.
Ooh. No, he had to shoot Charlie in the head first.
Yeah. Along with some other people, I think.
Yeah, because I mean the whole idea is like, can you rewire someone? And I guess the idea is no.
Oh, wait.
You can't fix somebody.
But you can shoot him in the head.
Are the murder legs starting to turn against murder leg right before he is murdered.
Why?
They lock up on the staircase.
Why does that happen?
Yeah, what's going on there?
Because it's like, maybe they can sense the murder head coming towards them.
And it's like they're like magnets. The body is like a giant...
They're like, here we go. Like, daddy's home.
Can Charlie, by thinking about it, cause like Jeff Fahey's arm to like strangle himself?
Yeah.
Like, because
why doesn't he try and kill himself?
Is he in control of his limbs or no?
He's a little bit in control, right? Because he shaves himself and he cuts himself. But I think he wants Jeff Fahey to stay alive because he wants the arms connected to a living body to keep them going. This is science. It makes sense.
But then why wouldn't the doctor, when he goes, I want you to take my goddamn arm off, why wouldn't the doctor go, oh, cool, yeah, no problem? Like, because... Like, I know who this guy's going to go after it anyway in a couple days. Why don't I do it now?
That points towards the hubris argument that the ladies made, that she's not trying to keep her son lover alive. She's just trying to win a Nobel Prize.
For cool surgery.
For surgery.
So, like, would she be up there
and
getting...
And the Nobel Prize for would cool she be up surgery there? Goes to Dr. Webb.
Would she be up there and they're like, Dr. Webb, for transplanting arms and legs? And she's like, thank you. But I also transplanted a head.
Kaboom!
See you at next year's ceremony.
Do you think...
The same prize again?
Would you guys watch a film in which Dr. Webb appeared on the island of Dr. Moreau?
Fuck yeah.
I would not.
Whoa! We did not see that coming.
Well, obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions, Dueling Themes.
When did this turn into Beautiful World? When did this turn into I Love You? When did this turn into Second Opinions?
Amazing. Tell me your name one more time.
Tony.
Thank you, Tony. But now, Tony, you must face a dueling Second Opinion theme. Hit it.
You take the good, you take the bad, throw out the bad, and there you have all 5 stars. All 5 stars. When there's more you can't ignore, but you won't give a lower score than all 5 stars. All 5 stars. When the movie doesn't seem to be living up to your dreams, then finally you're finding that it's lying. That'll get a high review. Get a high review.
Yeah,
5-star review. Lots to ignore and justify. For the love of God, tell us why. It's Second Opinions.
Yeah. Fucking great. Thank you so much. What's your name again?
Mark.
Mark, thank you, Mark. Thank you, guys. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Thank
amazing.
Wow.
Tony.
Those guys killed it.
Tony, you are kickstartering a Vin Diesel musical, am I right?
Sadly, great, great songs, not many 5-star reviews for this movie. I would say this is the only time that we have done a movie that had, in total, less than 30 reviews on Amazon, and they didn't even have a full page of 5-star reviews. So, there's only a few here, so 2, really. All right, so, you know, so... Set your expectations low. These are from Amazon reviews, 5 stars. All right, so this is from Spiritually Dragoiza. I watched this movie on pay-per-view in the early 90s and thought, I must own this movie. Well, 20 years later, I now own the DVD.
All of my dreams have come true.
I bought it
now
used.
Now I'm going to kill myself. Goodbye, cruel world.
I bought it used because they were asking $57.95 brand new.
What?
And used was only $16.98. And it was in very good condition. No scratches at all. The case and the insert were also in good condition. I scored big time. Because now a used copy is $42.95. 5 stars. Awesome movie. I finally own it.
Yay! That's nice.
A real journey.
That's a beautiful story.
It really is.
Of purchasing.
I wish my life was that good.
All right. And then this one is a little interesting, too. And you may think as I start to read this, oh, that's a joke review that you're reading. It's not. I'm cutting some of it out because it goes on too long. But it says like this. This is from Daryl J. Meister. Metaphysically, Eric Reed's horror masterpiece explores the nature of spiritual ties between evil and flesh, along with the ethics of unrestrained advancements in medical science. Mm-hmm. But no one cares about that stuff. The fact that this gem was one of the most underrated horror movies of the 90s is reason enough. This film combines an incredible performance by Jeff Fahey, unsurpassed special effects makeups, and an intriguing script by the writer of The Hitcher. Easily one of the 10, or maybe even 5, best horror genre films that the early 90s had to offer.
So many categories.
With a few bucks spent to market the release, I have no doubt the studio will more... basically, he's making a plea to make an unrated version of this. And he goes, with a few bucks spent to market the release, I have no doubt the studio will more than recover the cost in a market flooded with poorly executed regurgitations of a horror film from the 80s and 90s. We need to see the NC-17 version of this film. Which it was NC-17, which they cut out just because of blood and gore. That's all the reviews that they have
just
for Pfizer.
Just because of blood and gore?
Yeah, they said that there was the original sequence of the car wreck. The body flies out of the car, and you see the arm here. The crash sequence was cut down by 40 seconds. Deleted was a backward tracking shot from Fahey on the road to his twitching severed arm on the ground. He stares at it in horror until it's splattered by a truck. And then the surgery scene that follows was cut by more than a minute, deleting several shots of Fahey's exposed wound / stump and several seconds of the bloody, twitching donor arm on the table.
And that was all, like, deemed too sexual?
I think NC-17...
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well,
I mean, I'm not kidding in that, like, stumps are hot, but, like...
Well, look, you're a big fan of David Cronenberg's Crash, right?
Yep. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, have you ever seen that French movie, Don't Wake Me Up or Wake Me Up in the Morning, where it's like a necrophiliac who works in a morgue and fucks dead women?
I want to get on your diet of media. I am into whatever.
Hat, can you look it up, please? Hat, you got this.
Watching movies at 6:30 in the morning.
Bing it, buddy. Bing it.
And he's having sex with this corpse of this girl who OD'd on, like, ecstasy at a club, but she didn't really die, so him fucking her brings her back to life, and then she falls in love
with him.
That's
how my parents met.
Yeah.
Just once. Just once I would like to fuck someone back to life. I would love to know what that love is.
But see, then she's really into him because he saved her life, but he doesn't want anything to do with her because she's now alive.
Oh, that's tough.
Oh, heartbreak.
What a great meet cute. All right, so the question now remains, obviously we know this is not a great movie, but would you recommend this movie to someone who is in the mood for watching a movie that is not so hot? Jason.
I'm going to say no, I think.
Really?
Sure, watch it. It's fine.
Wow, all right. Not a rousing endorsement. Not going to be on the poster of the DVD.
No.
Re-release.
It's not going to be on the poster of the DVD.
What else? All right, what do you think?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
I think my only caveat would be like, if you don't have a lot of time, fast forward to when he handcuffs his arm, because that's when I think the thing, that's when they're firing on all cylinders.
If you're going to fast forward, I agree.
From there on out, it's a joyride.
That's on the poster of the DVD.
Yeah. I also think we failed to mention Jeff Fahey's depression bangs, which occur as the film goes on. Those are worth seeing. I think the eyelashes that he has, God bless his parents because they're gorgeous. The man also, at a relatively late age, decided he wanted to become a ballet dancer and did so.
Really?
And danced at the Joffrey Ballet for 3 years. So he is a talented man, and I feel like his talent deserves to be seen.
Rousing endorsement.
And a delicate mic placement.
Right. I don't think that people should watch it.
Really?
Would you recommend people maybe take a nap instead?
Have a little nap. It will refresh you if you need to do a podcast later that night. Also, just watch like Disclosure or something. Like watch a different, better...
Watch a better version of this.
Sexual 90s, early 90s thriller.
This isn't a very sexual
film. The fingering scene, I was horny the whole time. Come on.
Is that why you fell asleep?
The next 90 minutes, yeah.
Is that why you fell asleep? Yeah. You came so quick?
No, I didn't climax, but just the idea of...
Just kept you on the edge the entire time. It's
I
nice.
I was edging yeah. the whole time.
I fall on the category that I do think it's really... I thought it was quite fun because it's insane. It makes no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And there are some great moments. I enjoyed some moments in it, and I especially loved... The quiet talk to the yell talk. I thought that was something I haven't seen in a while.
I did really like that acting. But I just think... I love Fahey. I love Jeff Fahey very much.
Yeah, of course
much,
you do.
But I just think if it was someone who was like less jarring in that role, it might have been
You may have wanted somebody, and maybe this is the way I think about it, somebody more meek to then have that turn because he seemed a little like he had an edge to him at the
time. Screaming and wild at the beginning, pre-op, I feel.
Yeah, you needed him to be a
little bit more. Jeff Fahey is like a proto-Nicolas Cage in many ways.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that. Proto-Nicolas Cage, poor man's Ray Liotta. I love it. But also an A-plus ballet dancer.
Great dancer.
This guy is an enigma. Just like this movie, you can't
World
quite figure
Traveler
it out.
World Traveler as well, guys. Read his IMDb trivia section.
Well, there you go. There you have it. That's the movie. Just a quick reminder, if you want to learn more about this movie, you can listen to our spinoff podcast, How Did This Get Made? Origin Stories, where Blake J. Harris will sit down with one of the people involved in this movie. I don't know who but that has yet to be booked.
Sort out the mum question.
He always asks me what I like to know, and that's going to be the number one thing at the top of my list. And if you want
to... I ask him to ask whoever it is if there was ever any part of the movie that involved the dick.
Perfect.
Like, was there ever a plot script that included...
I just got word, though, he's talking to the turtleneck designer.
Oh.
So.
Damn it.
Murder but they made dick. A turtle dick. They made a turtle dick sweater.
He was uncircumcised, yeah. So his dick had a turtleneck.
And if
you guys ever see that movie Europa, where he's circumcised...
Hat, look it up.
And he's trying to hide the fact that he's Jewish, and so he sees someone putting on a turtleneck, and that gives him the idea that he's going to try and pull his foreskin up. Anybody see this movie? Thank you.
Wow.
So that's already been done.
By the way, I do think that you need a large crowd to follow you around to justify these things that you have seen. Because it feels like...
I just picture you out in the world, like in line at the movie theater being like, does anybody remember a movie in which Corey Haim...
I would never reference a Corey Haim.
Yeah, you're just doing like very high-end stuff.
This is just... Did we find my French necrophilia film, Hat? No!
Hat, get the fuck out of here.
Give me back those gifts that you got. If you have a comment or a question, you can call us at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And we'll air that on the mini episode. Let's get into plugs. Obviously, you guys, your show just came back on Netflix.
Yes.
It's great. So that's...
That
you can watch
it. Tepid response.
It just came... To this audience, it just came out last night. They may not have
been
able to get...
They're busy. They're watching Body Parts. They can't watch Love.
Now that you've gotten this out of the way, you can sit and binge the whole second season. But I don't want to take... give us something about the second season. You can tell them about it, but to make them excited about it.
My character gets her limbs removed. And hilarity ensues.
You guys all swap limbs for the second season. It's all about getting back.
Yeah. I get Gillian's character's limbs, so I smoke. That's it.
So season two right now on Netflix. It's great. If you've watched season one, it's great. If you watch season two, and it's great. I've watched the first two episodes so far, and I'm already into it.
Thank you, Paul. That means a lot.
Jason, what do you got to plug?
Nothing really.
Nothing. All right, great.
I will also plug their wonderful show Love on Netflix.
Jason!
It's not like, there you go. Just we've now quadrupled down on the plugs for Love. So there you go.
Thanks.
This is our special Love episode.
If you've got Netflix, don't cancel your subscription. Ratings don't matter, so you don't need to watch it. But it
just like keep it on in the background, just like just let
Netflix
it run through.
On. That would be great. Thank you.
Well, big thank you to Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips. July Diaz, Nick Kiley, Kelly Alto, Leanna Waldron, everybody here at Largo. Brett Morris up in the booth. Everybody here at Earwolf, thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. But before we say goodbye, let me tell you about a brand new show on Stitcher Premium and how. It's a very cool show. It actually features June Diane Raphael, Seth Meyers, Paul Russ, Mary Holland, and more. It's a show that takes unlikely pairs like Nancy Drew and Wonder Woman and puts them together to solve a case through Twitter. All right, this is the world of Pen Pals, a brand new scripted comedy show that puts unlikely pairs into conversation. It's a world where Prince searches for his muse on The Bachelor. That's Prince the musician, not just a Prince. Prince musician, and where Romeo and Juliet's teen romance goes off the rails in the afterlife. It's a 5-part miniseries, like I said, featuring all your favorites. So find out more about the show and hear the trailer. Go to StitcherPremium.com/penpals. StitcherPremium.com/penpals. And that's StitcherPremium.com/PENPALS. Go check it out. We'll see you next week for a mini episode. Make sure you give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK if you have anything you'd like to add about the great film Body Parts. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lauren Lapkus, and I'm back, and so is my show with special guest Lauren Lapkus. It's the show where I'm always the guest, and there's a new host every week. We've got some awesome new hosts coming soon, and they're all a surprise, so you'll have to just tune in. New episodes of With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus are coming every Friday. Listen on Earwolf, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Happy to be home.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.